Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome to the Lost in the Static 200th episode, everyone. Go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code STATIC, S-T-A-T-I-C, to get 50% off of one item, free shipping in the United States, and three free DVDs and a free mystery gift. Let's jump right into this week's topic with Satan, and, well, here we go.
Hail Satan.
You have to give a blood sacrifice to Satan. It's supposed to keep you protected. It's supposed to keep you pure.
They said that if we told that the devil would come and kill our parents.
It doesn't matter if you believe in Satan. It doesn't matter if you believe in demons. What's important is to know that there are people out there that do, and they're willing to do anything to accomplish their goal.
Satanism is more than a hodgepodge of mysticism and fantasy, more than a Halloween motif. It's a violent impulse that preys on the emotionally vulnerable, especially teenagers, often lonely and lost.
It basically started out like with the killing of animals. Then there's always the heavy metal music and drugs don't help.
It attracts the angry and the powerless, who often sink into secret lives.
They asked me if I had ever thought about killing somebody just to watch them die. And they asked me if I would like to join a satanic cult.
Possessed by an obsessive fascination with sex and drugs, and yes, heavy metal rock and roll.
Satan's child!
Often Satanism seems to be a personal psychodrama, a kind of license for strange, sometimes violent behavior.
A bloodbath would be a cleansing and a purification of a planet that has been dirtied and degraded for too long.
Sometimes it's just half-baked mumbo-jumbo and scrawled symbols, but other times it goes deeper, deadly.
Tommy died as brutally as his mother did, but at his own hands.
I loved him dearly, but he also took my wife, who I loved.
Satanism goes far beyond teenage obsession. Today there are cults that worship the devil, engage in secret ceremonies, believe in ancient, though bizarre, theology, all of it constitutionally protected, as long as no laws are broken.
I believe that hate is necessary in a controlled way just as much as love is necessary.
The other face of adult Satanism is violent and fiendish, centered on sexual ritual and torture, frequently descending into the vilest crime of all, sexual abuse of children.
He has drawn pictures of a child being sacrificed. He's talked about animal sacrifices. He's disclosed molestation.
And what of their own children? Some are born into satanic cults and grow up as lifelong members. Others are desperate to flee, but dread the penalty of grotesque death.
They're going to catch me. It don't matter. I could run and run and run. They're always going to catch me because they're all over.
And beyond the mayhem and monsters, it's said that a nationwide network of satanic criminals exists. Start with the warped and wicked Charles Manson.
It's everything that human beings don't understand. It's all their fears. It's what they're not sure of. You dig what I'm saying? Satan to me would be God.
Well, the demented son of Sam Killer, David Berkowitz. These and others purportedly linked to the devil worship underground.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
It's all over the United States and probably all over the world because it's just something that people are experimenting with now.
Impossible to measure. Easy to doubt. The very mention of it invites ridicule.
Come out.
No, I won't let her go. No.
Often the choice is to avoid confronting it, ignore it, find other explanations, or laugh it off. That is not the choice we have made tonight. We have chosen to ask why. Via satellite, we'll be asking the youngest person on Oklahoma's death row, just 17 when he killed in the name of Satan, why he murdered his own parents. And to Southern California, where we will ask the parents of children in the notorious McMartin preschool why they claim their kids were satanically abused. And to London, where rock star Ozzy Osbourne will tell us why he feels he and heavy metal music are getting a bum rap. And to the state penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana, to ask convicted killer Charles Gervais why he thought the devil would award him 10,000 souls.
The Investigative News Group presents the Geraldo Rivera Special. Devil Worship. Exposing Satan's Underground.
I just love that abrupt switch of Geraldo Rivera's investigative team, Devil Worship.
That's why I left that in. I was going to cut it off because I knew this went a little bit long. Yeah. But I'm like, no, that's the way it played out. You people need to hear how it really played out in 88.
Oh, my God. Now, I remember the Satanic Panic well. It was you know, we were... What
we were still in middle school.
We were 12,
when this happened. Yeah.
12 or so when the Geraldo Rivera thing happened. We were probably about 10 or 11 when it started.
Well, and before that, before this level of Satanic Panic and the whole heavy metal Satanic Panic, you had the D&D Satanic Panic, which we'll actually get to later tonight.
We will talk about this. This entire last 4 minute intro was from Geraldo Rivera Investigates. Devil worship, in quotes, devil worship and Satanism in the United States. And
it was a 2 hour primetime special the day before Halloween, 1988. And a little bit of background on the special. No one wanted to advertise on it, Scott.
Really?
Every one of the advertisements was a promo for something else on NBC. All the ad breaks were promos because... I mean, every normal advertiser they had looked at this and went, wow, I'm not going to sell Coca-Cola or Burger King on this. No.
Right.
So this went not ad-free because there were commercials, but ad-free, and it was only promos for, you know, coming up next week on Cheers or whatever.
Right, right. Now, this, I got to admit, this didn't affect me all that much because my parents were smart and kind of looked at it and laughed, frankly.
How about your other, the students in your school or whatnot? Did you, but I mean, you were never a big metal guy, so I don't see why.
I was never a big metal guy, but as far as my school is concerned, I was the rebel guy. I was, you know, okay. I had the leather jacket, I wore the ripped jeans, et cetera, et cetera. So... It kind of some of the and I don't mean this to be demeaning in any way, but I'm going to call them the turbo Christian students, the non-denominational Christians that are very, very devout and fought for prayer in school.
Get behind me, Satan!
Yeah, fought for mandatory prayer in school and such. They kind of gave me sideward glances, and when they found out that there was a D&D group that played,
you might
in
as well
school,
double down then, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, it was that we. I remember. I mean, this was like four guys at the time, because again, this was still pre high school. This was middle school, but we met. We played a couple of campaigns of D&D, nothing big, but. Boy, there were students protesting, and this shouldn't be happening. This is satanic. It shouldn't be happening on school grounds, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, I mean, maybe we'll get into it later tonight, but there was also the D&D thing might have died down in the 80s, but then in the 90s you had Magic getting the same nonsense about Magic the Gathering, and then in the 2000s about Harry Potter.
Yep.
So this thing doesn't die. It just changes
morphs.
It changes what it focuses on.
Yeah, and... It's really quite ridiculous. I mean,
we're going to get into some ridiculous later. Yeah, I've got audio clips to back up this.
We'll get there. But first off, when it comes to this thing morphing into the Harry Potter following and whatnot, during the heyday of the Harry Potter movies, say around number two or number three, I found this great podcast that was by a... I don't want to give him the wrong rank, but he was high-ranking in the Catholic Church. Okay. I think he was a bishop. I'm not sure.
Cardinal, bishop, something.
Somewhere around there. But
I've never trusted bishops because they can only go diagonal.
So anyway...
Nothing for a chess joke? Really?
Nothing.
All right, fine.
But nonetheless, he looked into the language. He read the Harry Potter books. He was a big Rowling fan.
Okay.
So he read the Harry Potter books, and he looked into the meanings of all the Latin and the words behind and everything like that. And he was, at the very least, he was a Catholic priest, and I think he was Norwegian or something.
Some sort of European.
Some Northern European, not England, but I think maybe either Northern European or Scandinavian, one or the other, but maybe Dutch. I don't know. Anyway, he was a dirty goddamn foreigner, and he looked into the meaning behind the Harry Potter words, and he talked about it, and he goes, okay, here's what this means, here's the translation, here's the closest Latin, and it was really, really neat how he went through it all. At no point did he go, and here's the demonic meaning.
You know, Harry hails Satan, and, you know, exactly. they have a one-night stand together with Beelzebub.
Yeah, you know, and he talked about it, and he was like, this is ridiculous, I've heard this, and let's be honest, it was mainly from American evangelicals
that's because especially with evangelicals, maybe I'm characterizing too narrowly here, okay? But this is what I have seen, so my perception is they always need something to rally against. I rarely see, if I'm flipping past the 700 Club, them going, here is why Jesus is great. It's, here is why Jesus is better than this. And it always seems there's something they have to rail against.
And these were the same evangelicals that back in the 80s stirred up the satanic panic. And, you know, you can look at Pat Robertson and Oral Roberts and, I always forget
the Bakers.
The Bakers did the same thing, and the Indian faith healer guy who was just starting his career back then. It was the Satanic Panic that really launched him. He's still got late night infomercials and stuff, and he's hilarious. Oh, okay. Then there's that other one that will send you spirit water or the prayer pillow, and
for $100 donation.
For $100 donation to him, you get this chintzy ass little pillow big enough for one knee that has been imbued with the power of God or something. And
it's actually water from Jerusalem. The
bullshit. It's from the.
It's from your tap.
Yeah, it's from the St. Louis tap water.
But like you were pointing out, the Satanic Panic, this, for people who didn't live in the mid to late 80s, this is going to seem ridiculous. It truly is, Scott. But this happened. This was every TV show, I'm talking, you know, nonfiction TV show, had something on Satanism. All your heavy metal music was satanic, your Dungeons and Dragons, all your movies, they would pull horror movies into this. I mean, hell, you even heard Geraldo mention the McMartin preschool. I don't really want to talk about them because I want to do a whole episode of McMartin down the line because that requires it. And the funny thing is, when this aired, McMartin was just going to trial, that case. So that honestly hadn't even been resolved yet when this came out.
Real quick, give us a quick sum up the McMartin case.
The McMartin case was the McMartins were a family that ran a preschool in California, and it turned out that the woman was mentally ill, but she claimed that her son was sexually abused at this school. And as the police investigated, it snowballed, and the kids were telling stories about massive satanic rituals and flying to Las Vegas where one was sacrificed. And it just it snowballed, and McMartin became the face of ritual abuse. And it turned out, oh, yeah, not only did they not do any of this was all whipped up by an overzealous prosecutor who had the evidence that exonerated them and hid it.
Yes.
Because they didn't want their closure rate to go down.
And this was
McMartin was endemic of both media spinning shit way out of control. I mean, honestly, this is pre-OJ. It's the same kind of nonsense that happened with OJ, but also prosecutorial malfeasance on every level.
Yeah, the media spun this way the hell out of control. The evangelical church, which had a much louder voice back then than it does now.
Yeah, or their voice has been diluted.
Their voice, depending on where you are in the States, at least, it can be diluted quite a bit. But at this point, it was nationwide, and it was a loud voice. And so the evangelicals took off with it, media took off with it, and people were kind of fascinated. I mean, you know, people love a good grisly ritual murder, so it's it it hit something in the population at the time, even if you looked
right
at it
place,
all.
Right time.
Yeah, even if you looked at it all as fiction, it was still something that hit. So
yeah, and the funny thing is, when we say Satanic Panic, we're not kidding. This shit was everywhere. I mean, everything you did was that satanic or, oh, that's satanic. And what I find is they always went to Satan, not this is bad. It's satanic.
Right.
Oh, heavy metal music. That's not bad for you. It's satanic and will destroy your soul.
Yes, it's the devil's inroad into your soul and your, you know, not just this world, but the next one. Eternal damnation waits upon thee.
Well, Play the second clip, and you'll hear how Geraldo so awesomely characterized heavy metal.
Being into heavy metal doesn't necessarily mean your kid's also into Satanism.
Yes, it does.
And most of these fans are not. But there is an undeniable connection between obsession with the really hard stuff and the occult.
What is it, drugs?
This stone pony from Kansas City is named Spike.
The upside down cross is a symbol of Satan. Ozzy is a rock and roll singer. And most acid rock is involved with Satanism.
Let him who hath understanding reckon the number of the beast.
A heavy metal freak from Louisiana, Joe got himself into self-mutilation in Satan's name.
We cut our arms and let the blood drip into a cup and we pass it around and drink from the cup, from each other's blood.
Kim from Colorado also practiced the gruesome ritual.
Violence with blood, we like to see blood, and we used to eat blood and stuff like that.
Drinking blood as entertainment is apparently a staple in the acts of heavy metalists like Wasp.
My life became centered not only around the marijuana I was smoking and the booze I was drinking, but it became centered around Satan.
Although Satanism is more obvious in the lyrics of groups like Megadeth, Slayer, Venom, and Iron Maiden, in St. Petersburg, Florida recently, satanic symbols filled the air at this concert by Danish-born King Diamond.
How much can you influence kids? I think people are too clever to be influenced by watching a band or listening to an album to go out and do the same, because if they were that easy to influence, watching the news, you get the real thing, and everybody knows that, right into your living room. Personally, I am a Satanist, a practicing Satanist, but we never tried to preach that religion to anybody.
Bull. An avowed Satanist, Diamond's protest that he's not preaching is belied by lyric placed with references to death, graves, and evil. Of course, to some, it's just rock and roll rebellion.
Satan has nothing to do with this kind of a concert.
It's just fun out, love to have a good time.
Parents, they go Satanism, their kids. It's killing their kids. It's not killing their kids. The parents are screwing up in the beginning.
We're the next generation. Yeah. And united! Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever the connection, there is no doubt that teenage satanic activity in this country is increasing dramatically.
And
it's
you were
increasing
amazed.
Dramatically, Scott.
And you were amazed that I knew King Diamond.
Yeah, all of a sudden, as he's got his mic out, he's going, Grandma!
But anyway.
Bull!
Yeah.
I think that was, because this is the kind of investigative reporting that we got on the Satanic Panic.
Yep.
I mean, King Diamond, I do not try to preach against Bull, or this stoned pony, this heavy metal freak. You notice how he puts them down, but it's so quick and relatively subtle that it influences the audience he was trying to pitch with this.
Yeah, this is really a perfect example of the beginning. Well, I can't really say the beginning.
Trash TV was before this. But
see, yeah, Trash TV was before this. Yellow journalism in general,
and even Morton
of course,
Jr. was before
way
this.
Before, you know. Well, I'm thinking all the way back to the newspaper
Hearst
wars,
and
Hearst and such. Yellow journalism's been around a long time, but this is just a beautiful example of it. I mean, there is an obvious bias. This is Fox News before Fox News.
Yeah, and this is NBC. Or the investigative news group. That was Geraldo's company.
Right. And they didn't last very long after this. The ING stuck around, and Geraldo has always had a place on TV somewhere, but he hasn't been taken seriously as a journalist since
early 80s, maybe?
Early 80s. And this was just a nail in the coffin, so to speak, because I will give him credit where credit is due. He used to be a real journalist.
Oh, yeah.
He just found out it didn't pay as well as fake journalism.
You look at the stuff he did in the 70s, and he broke ground in journalism. Yeah. But like, in this clip, the only thing I'll give him credit for is the part where he says, just because your kid is into heavy metal does not mean they're into Satan. That's actually relatively balanced considering the rest of the clip, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's relatively balanced, but it's a relatively balanced opening. You know, it's kind of like going, well, we'll let you sit on that end of the teeter-totter before we drop the elephant on the other end.
Yeah.
You know.
So, but you know, it was parts like this that haunted me around this era, because I was into heavy metal. I had the long hair. I had the Slayer albums. I had Venom's At War with Satan, which is a fantastic album, but, you know, and whatnot. This special made me more of an outcast in school.
Oh, yeah.
And as we've discussed previous, I was already there. And, you know, this is when I would have my locker defaced and, you know, everyone would, you know, they'd walk up to you and just do the devil horns to make fun of you, you know, with the hook'em horns with your hands and stuff. And it was like, you know, it also didn't help that in my area, and I know this shocked you when we were talking off mic, we had some of this shit happen after this. Some of the quarries had the satanic graffiti, and they found the remains of, you know, killed animals and, you know, in fire pits and stuff like that. So we had a little, probably a bunch of posers that thought, hey, I saw this on Geraldo, and this looked really cool. Let's try it. That was most likely what happened.
And that's not an isolated event. I wanted to talk about that with this special. This special did more to launch fake...
Because it made it look cool!
Yeah, it did more to launch fake Satanists and posers and kind of take kids who maybe had the mental proclivity to mutilate animals, which, by the way, is a sign of...
Serial killers
and others.
Is sociopathy the word?
Yeah.
Okay.
A sign of sociopathy and sociopathic behaviors. And this special did more to push them over the edge and to give it a try.
It sensationalized it, I think, is what you're looking for.
It again made it kind of cool. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe my little peer group will like me even better if they see what I do to this cat, dog, squirrel, cow, insert animal here.
And as much as Geraldo goes into the special about all the people, you know, the teenagers who've killed other teens are on death row and all that shit, as you heard in the very open part, he still kind of, while he's looking down on them, glorifies them by comparing them to Charles Manson, who he actually interviews later. It's a pretty wild interview, actually.
Yeah.
And you realize if you're already, like you said, people who have these proclivities, that's not a negative point. That's a selling point to them. I look up to Charlie. I could be like Charlie? Ooh.
See, one of the things about sociopathy and psychopathy that you have to remember is empathize. They cannot empathize at all. They cannot sympathize at all. For instance, if one of your relatives dies that you were particularly close enough to, I can kind of look at my own life and look at a similar loss and understand how you feel. Sociopaths and many psychopaths don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
And so when they see on TV that killing animals gets you on TV and gets you some recognition, they just kind of go, okay, I want some recognition. I want to be on TV. There's my path.
And Geraldo sensationalizing this didn't do anything to curb that.
And so that's what happened. Now, another one of the really heavy metal greats in history and later
a surprisingly
television.
Lucid and formidable Ozzy Osbourne was piped in live via satellite to this special. And just take a listen to this. And Ozzy's actually making some points here. Except, now, what I want you to say, you guys can't see Geraldo's face. Listen to his tone and hear how obviously irritated he's getting that Ozzy is not walking into the traps he keeps laying for him.
Right.
Listen for that.
And I'm as I watch this, getting ready for this, I got to thinking, and I think either A, the drugs that Ozzy has been taking throughout his life still hadn't quite kicked in as much as they
did now.
Time release
or something.
Or he was on the right drugs in order to make him a little bit more lucid in this one.
his eyes, he's fully there for once, you know?
Yeah, so here we go. But
listen for the traps.
Here's Ozzy.
Ozzy?
Yeah?
I know that your lyrics are less excessive than groups like Slayer or Venom or Iron Maiden or some of the others, but still, for some reason, maybe it's because you've been around for so long, I see tattoos of your name on some of these teenage devil worshippers' arms. Wherever I see devil graffiti and satanic graffiti, I see your name also. Do you feel a sense of responsibility, Oz?
The only responsibility I feel is the fact that I'm a true musician in what I play. I don't want to make anybody start doing all this devil worship crap because that's not my intention. Although I have sung on a few songs about the devil, you know, that's about it. You know, I don't want anyone to harm themselves.
What about the issue of responsibility? What about the whole thing about guilt? Do you feel responsible?
I don't feel guilty. I feel kind of persecuted by everybody because I'm not a bad guy. My intentions are not to harm anyone. In fact, it's directly the opposite. Like when people come to my concerts, I want them to have a good, fun evening out, you know. And it seems to me that a lot of people judge the book by the cover more so. And they write things about me, but they don't even know what they're talking about, you know.
Now, did you notice the traps that he laid? He wanted Ozzy to say, yes, my music is responsible. You'll notice Geraldo brought it up twice, Scott, and even interrupted him once to reinsert that.
Exactly.
He was laying traps, and Ozzy very wisely sidestepped those traps by turning it around and saying, no, I'm the one being persecuted. I was like, yeah! That is how you handle an interview, a gotcha interview like that.
Yeah, it was handled surprisingly well. But I mean, this was the belief, and heavy metal had been around for a while. Obviously, people say Led Zeppelin was the first successful heavy metal band. That was the 70s. But this is heavy metal is now coming up on 20 years old in this special
in pop culture, yeah.
And it had hit big. You know, on the pop scene in the 80s at this time, you had the hair metal bands. And the hair metal bands led a lot of people who were curious and were like, well, that's
into
kind of interesting.
And then they checked out Slayer and Maiden and that.
Exactly. So it led in, it was gaining a lot in popularity. And yeah, it's the metal image is one that parents just aren't going to like. Or at least the parents
but
of the
also,
time.
But also, and I think metal and rap, leaving out the Satanism part, metal was speaking to the alienated white youth, and rap was speaking to the alienated black youth.
And if you remember,
and both of those taking out the stylistic differences, what they were saying was basically the same thing. And while rap came under fire for its misogyny and glorifying thug culture, metal came under fire for the satanic imagery, and that they were both coming under fire from the same people. They just knew rap, we can't really wrap the Satanism thing in, but the thug culture, we can't really wrap into the metal, so we have to attack each thing on its own merits.
Well, that was at the time, rap music was going to lead you into being in a gang and lead you into dealing drugs and, you know, the South Central LA, et cetera, et cetera. Metal was going to lead you into a gang of Satanists and lead you into dealing souls and horrible satanic things and
yeah,
everything
drinking
like that.
Blood,
so,
yeah. And so this is just, it's not that different. This is the same kind of crap, like the, not necessarily hippie music, but like in the 70s, you know, with like the psychedelic, it's the same crap over and over. It's just the thing they're specifically attacking is all changing.
I want to put something else into perspective that maybe people aren't thinking about right now. The other thing that they keep mentioning blood rituals, drinking blood, sharing blood, causing self-harm.
It's only a couple of years after
like
AIDS,
that.
Too.
Yeah,
so.
This is right in the middle of the AIDS panic as well. So people sharing and drinking blood, but you're going to get AIDS. And that's just all there is to it. And
well, at this point in popular media, it was only if, you know, it was a fag involved. Because remember, in media, straight people did not get AIDS yet.
Yeah.
In reality, they did.
Right.
That didn't get covered. Only gays
got
AIDS.
Right. Straight people didn't start getting AIDS until the 90s, if you ask your average.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. Until Ryan White, which was actually late 80s. So
right. Actually, I think right around this time.
Yeah, right around this time.
But this just proves this satanic, and we keep using the term panic because that's what it was. People were not looking into things rationally. They were just looking at, oh my God, this is so over the top. It's got to be real because who would make this up?
Right. And it's almost every story attached to it, including the trial that you mentioned,
the McMartins,
all of the other smaller trials that came about where the satanic panic played it. It took somebody with a little bit of a skeptical eyeball just going, okay, where are all the bodies? Where are all the missing kids?
Yeah,
where are all the missing kid reports?
You heard in the opening, he talks about a nationwide network of Satanists. And they even have a cop. I don't know if the cop was just misinformed or a paid shill, but talking about how there is an organized satanic network that trades kids to be sacrificed and all that. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Human trafficking happens. Human trafficking even happens here in the States.
Oh, I'm not discounting that it happens.
Right. Not
I'm
to
saying
this
that
scale.
There is not an organized satanic trafficking ring.
Not to this scale. You know, it doesn't happen to this scale, and it's my God.
We're not living in the devil's reign.
Exactly. And they did interview a few people from the Church of Satan.
Anton LaVey was dead at this point, so his daughter Zena LaVey spoke out for him, as well as a couple of offshoots of Temple of Set and all that. And I don't know if it was that Geraldo was manipulating the events, but they didn't make their case very well. I was watching it, I kept going, you could have said this differently. But I think some of them were too into the image. That they wanted to be, we will not back down, this is our belief, instead of massaging the situation like Ozzy did, how he refused to fall into the trap.
Right.
Zena and them kept falling into the trap.
They did. Now, I want to talk real quick about the actual Church of Satan and the Temple of Set, which are, when he talks about the constitutionally protected religions.
Did you hear how he said it, though? Constitutionally, he said it with vitriol. Seriously, in that clip, he was angry that they're constitutionally protected. You could hear it in his voice.
Yes. Now, if you look at the Christian church in the way that a Satanist or potential Satanist does, what they are doing is they are gathering, being good people, and worshiping an other. God is off in the heavens somewhere, and that's the way it is. The Church of Satan and the Temple of Set were started by a bunch of atheists who were like, okay, if they are worshiping the other, we are going to worship the self. And if you actually read the Satanic Bible and
I have.
And
I
stuff
read it
like
in high
that,
school. That didn't. That also didn't help when this came out either.
Right. But if you actually read it, self-harm is frowned upon.
So is animal sacrifice.
So is animal
harming
sacrifice, harming other
people. Other
people. Because it is a worship of the self, a worship of the now and here. You pursue pleasure. You don't pursue pain.
To be fair, and I think this is a fair way to put it, it's kind of a more narcissistic religion than Christianity on the surface.
On the surface, yes. And I think really it's all the sins of Christianity brought to the surface as opposed to buried by the church and the leaders and stuff like that.
But then they twisted that into the being the enemy of Christianity. And, you know, and Anton LaVey was a great public speaker and honestly a great media manipulator as well.
Yeah, he was really good on the PR front.
Yeah. But now let's move into D&D for the second half of this, because okay. that was another big part.
That was a huge part of it, yes.
The religious crazies loved to go after D&D because you had devils and pentagrams and stuff in there. Play this first clip, and then we'll go on from that.
All righty, here we go.
I do not think that many parents are aware of what's inside the game. In fact, in my presentation, I show many pictures from the inside of the books just to show the images of this game. I mean, the gruesomeness of this game and the occult link to it.
Well, I know that when I did my message, and this has happened, I have letter after letter where people took the pieces. Now, there's sixes involved in the pieces of the game, but they'd take the pieces of the game, they would throw them in the incinerator or the fireplace, and screams would come out because there seemed to be some kind of spiritual forces inhabiting those pieces, and children would drop out of life. They didn't want to study anymore. What are the pieces, for instance?
Well, this game affects the most intelligent of our children. And the pieces include white witches, wizards, necromancers, the clerics, that type of thing. It includes evil wizards. It's a white versus black witchcraft. The good versus evil is white versus black witchcraft. And Anton LaVey, the writer of the Satanist Bible, says there is no such thing as white witchcraft.
Well, being a Satan worshiper, he should know.
Yeah.
Now, I want to point out, okay, they are technically right about the evil forces coming out of the pieces, because when you superheat painted, compressed plastic, yes, there will be noises and smokes that come out. The same way if I went into their church, grabbed a little figurine of Jesus, and threw it into an incinerator, the evil spirit would escape that too, Scott.
Yeah, and that's not the only scientific explanation. And I remember this was from Deception of a Generation, correct?
Yes.
That's where you found this.
But these guys had the Eagle something ministry. They had a whole series. They had a D&D one. They had the Deception one. They had one. They had a bunch of different of these. And Deception's just the most famous, in quotes, that they've done.
I definitely want to take a look at some of the others that they've done, too. But it amazes me because they are the type of people that really set off this panic. Those that there cannot be a scientific explanation. There cannot be a logical explanation.
It has to be spiritual.
It automatically runs right to the spiritual side of things. Now,
they didn't do it in this clip, but one of the things about D&D was you can know your kids into Satanism when they drop out of life, they talk back to you. They don't want to hang around with their parents. You just described a teenager.
Yeah,
that's what teenagers do.
Yeah, that's puberty. When your kids hit puberty, that's the devil entering them.
Ooh. Yeah, and then you have to jerk off to make the devil leave.
I guess. I don't understand, but it was amazingly silly. The entire thing. Looking back on it, you're just like, how did this happen to this nation? We're not
the
dumb
media,
people.
I think is actually what did it, really. Yeah, I've got another D&D clip. Play this one, because this one is... I've got some more to say about it. Let's just say
okay, here we go.
As you can see, I'm standing in front of Isis Bookstore here in Denver. It's a store that carries all kinds of magic and occult items, everything from how to conduct a witchcraft ritual to coven meetings, books on everything you'd need, crystals, astrology, tarot cards, everything for occult practices. And this lends to a lot of the fascination that young people have with Satanism and the occult. They're able to get their hands on books like I've got in my hand here. We got this in this bookstore. It's called The Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey. Satan Wants You. Another one, Necronomicon, which is a book that deals with magic in the occult. They got the Ouija board in there, so there's just about everything in there. The only thing we couldn't find was Dungeons and Dragons, but you could go down to any mall, find any one of your national chain bookstores and get that. Dungeons and Dragons is one of over 300 fantasy role-playing games on the market today. At least 4 million players have accepted the invitation to enter into the fantasy dream world of sorcery, swords, and demons.
Well, actually, the figure by the National Coalition on Television Violence is documented more than 125 cases of either suicide or murder directly attributable to Dungeons and Dragons. In Dungeons and Dragons, what you do is to create a fantasized universe of the mind in which expediency to achieve your goal is more important than any kind of moral frame of reference to your actions. And so for some kids, generally the very intelligent and the very imaginative, when they do this, some of them can slip over the edge. It's kind of like it's a training primer. It's as they play the game, they are learning to function by all the rules that are wrong.
D&D is morally deficient. It's spiritually corrupt. It is educationally evil, it teaches evil, and it is potentially dangerous. And the road to the ideals it represents leads to destruction, and that's the only place they lead. I should know.
Movies have done their damage too. Mark Branch, a 19-year-old horror movie buff, stabbed Sharon Gregory to death. Branch, who later hung himself, was fascinated by the slasher Jason in Friday the 13th, saying this: he wanted to see what it feels like to kill. Many of today's movies are no more than an introductory lesson to Satanism, witchcraft, and murder.
These kids are getting the idea from somewhere. A teenager doesn't manufacture a desire to see blood or taste blood or to know what it's like to kill another human being. But if they've seen Jason do it, if they've seen Freddy Krueger do it, for that small percentage of people out there who may be borderline psychotic or who have serious drug problems, it can, and in some cases, does tip them over the edge.
Now,
I want to point out, I did not add that audio effect at the end. That's the way the clip is in the
right.
in the special that I got this from.
Now, let's listen to the very end, his statement there. For that small percentage that has mental issues such as psychoses or are heavy drug users, a horror movie may push them over the edge, mm-hmm. which means anyone who goes and sees and enjoys a horror movie is immediately going to kill.
Also, the fact that, let's go back to the beginning of that, when he's like, you can get all these books at this bookstore, and he's rattling them off. You know what else you can get at that bookstore? Religious books and Bibles. And you notice he left all that out, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that's some nice balanced reporting going in with a predetermined outcome, huh?
Yeah. Because
and the other voice you heard there was Bob Larson. He is a renowned radio crazy who, I don't know if he came back to reality, but he got, and he did it to himself in a really cool way, he got put back onto a plane of even. He was rallying against Slayer for years for being satanic, so they invited him to go on tour with them, and he did, and found that these are just normal guys having fun, and he kind of turned around a little bit on Slayer. That, I actually think, says that he's willing to listen. That's more than a lot of these can say.
Look, I have a lot of respect. Ken Ham, who debated Bill Nye.
And lost hard.
And, well, not if you ask anybody sitting in the audience, because it was at the Creationist Museum. But
anyone with a rational brain, he lost hard.
He lost before he began to anybody with a rational brain. But I give Ken Ham credit for going on and debating. I give Bill Nye for allowing the debate to happen at the U.S. Creationist Museum.
On enemy turf.
On enemy turf. I give credit to, what was the gentleman you were talking about? Bob Larson. Thank you. It wasn't in my head for some reason. Bob Larson.
For going on tour with Slayer.
But yeah, most of the people that were into this whole satanic panic on the godly side, it was anytime either Miss LaVey or anyone from the Temple of Set invited them to say, you know, come see what it's like, come see what we preach, read our word, we've read yours. Most of the time it was, no, I will not accept an invitation from Satan to come into my soul, because any debate at all, anytime that you look at this rationally, was Satan entering your soul. Anytime there was any doubt of these people's
words.
Well,
it's because to them, they are supposed to be battling this, not putting up with it, not being enticed by it, not tolerating it. You know?
Well,
one of the ones that they throw out all the time is, you shall not suffer a witch to live. You don't debate whether that witch lives. You kill that cunt.
Yeah, which is definitely the godly thing to do.
But that's the stance that they take, is I don't have to tolerate you because I am righteous. That's the dangerous part of the satanic panic then, the 90s and the 2000s, was I am right and you will never convince me that I'm not.
Right, because I have the word of God on my side.
Yes.
Which, if you actually read the Bible, it's amazing how contradictory it is and how open to interpretation it is. So it seems like anybody can have the word of God on their side. You know who else has the word of God on their side? Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? There was a clip I was going to use, but I decided it was too inflammatory even for this.
Okay.
I found a clip that was about how Satanism is in heavy metal and all the movies. Until I saw who the narrator was, I went, are you fucking kidding me? Andrew McDonald. The founder of the white supremacist movement.
Oh, okay.
The writer of the Turner Diaries.
Oh, okay.
I was like, just fuck you then. You know what? I can't even take you jokingly seriously, you know? So that one, I recorded it, and I'm like, no. No, I'm not even doing that one because that's just too over the top. But the satanic panic, it eventually died down.
For a while.
Well, like I said, it popped back up with magic. Yeah. It actually died down for quite a while, honestly.
Yeah.
It died down by about 1990, and the McMartin stuff kind of kept it in the news a little bit, but we'll do a whole episode on McMartin at some point. The McMartin stuff kept it in the news, and then eventually people started to see all the holes in this. Mm-hmm. There was not a nationwide network of Satanists, or as Bob Larson pointed out in that, where are these 125 deaths directly attributed to playing D&D?
Yeah.
Where are these?
Yeah.
I would like to know where this 125 number came from.
Yeah. And that was the tipping point on that one, like I said, was rationality. People going, okay, I understand where you're coming
from. If there's 125 of these, how have we not seen them?
Yeah.
How have these not been on the news? How? That's just the question. How?
Yeah. And again, with the McMartin case, once the holes started showing up in that one, and
it still took a long time because the prosecutor refused to lose, in quotes.
Right.
Even though it was so clear the McMartins didn't do anything.
But nonetheless, once that started showing up as being false, things died down for a while, flared up a little bit with magic, and in the heart of our country, in the Bible Belt of the U.S., where evangelism is strong and we have the revival tents and stuff like that, it will always be present.
Well,
and,
right.
And I can tell you, even just living in Evansville, which I'm on the edge of the Bible Belt there, it always had a presence. And it's used to this day, whether it's D&D, heavy metal, Harry Potter, Magic the Gathering.
They'll always find something.
Yeah, it will always be something.
But there's something else about all that is that not only were they looking for something, but the fact that they were seeing what they wanted to see, which is the most dangerous place to go. Because when you're only seeing what you want to see, how do you get through to someone like that?
Yeah, you don't. And in many cases, it never happened. Peter Popoff, that's the one with the prayer pillows and the water and
but,
all that.
But you also had like D&D, and then I can't remember if they were owned by Wizards of the Coast yet, but
no.
But Magic, they also caved into a lot of this stuff.
Right.
You got to remember, D&D took out the devil and all the pentagrams out of the Monster Manual and the DM guides.
Even Pokemon changed a few cards for the U.S. release.
I remember Magic had to take there was one called Unholy Strength, and it had a guy coming out of a pentagram, and they changed that to something else and whatnot. And like a lot of the record stores wouldn't carry, you know, like an album with a Motley Crue had to change the cover of the Shout at the Devil album to get the pentagram off the cover if they wanted to be in Tower Records and whatnot. And so, unfortunately, that only emboldened the satanic panic for a while, and the fact that we are making an impact, we are changing them. That, to me, is the most distasteful part of all this, Scott.
And do you know something else that came as a direct result of the satanic panic?
Hmm.
Tipper Gore and the PMRC.
No, actually, they actually predated the Satanic Panic.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Have I got my history messed up again?
They were right at the beginning, and the PMRC, like the hearings, came after.
Right. Okay.
But,
yeah.
But the PMRC and its origins predates all this. And they weren't so into Satan. They were into the quote porn rock.
Right.
But Satanism was just one of the aspects of porn rock.
Okay. Okay.
So the PMRC,
But they were running through the middle of this too.
But one funny thing about the PMRC and Satanism is when they were proposing their rating system, they had one of the ratings for occult. Now, anything Christian did not qualify as occult. Jewish Star of David was occult. A pentagram was occult.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny how everything that's non-Christian was occult?
Yes. And that's why I always laugh when people say that we don't have a national religion, because whether you like it or not, we kind of do. I don't like it, but we do.
I just honestly, you know, I'm an atheist. I was offended. I'm like, why are Jews not offended that your symbol is occult?
Oh, they were.
To them. Why are you not speaking out about this?
Oh, they were. You should have seen. There was... This is a recent thing, but it's kind of related to this tangent we're going on. In Indianapolis, I think, maybe Dayton, Ohio, somewhere around there. One of the Barnes & Noble bookstores had, the Barnes & Noble used to have a pretty decent sized occult section that was... Now they've renamed it New Age, and they've moved.
It used to be called just spirituality in the
90s. Well, it was called spirituality, and it had a whole bunch of Wiccan stuff in there, and
that's where the Satanic Bible was,
and Kabbalistic, and the Satanic Bible,
Necronomicon, as he says,
Necronomicon. Which, if you ever read the Necronomicon, it's a book about a book, not the actual book itself.
It was bound in human flesh, and Ashley J. Williams had to battle it.
Clatu Verata Nicto. Or Clatu Verata Nicto. Exactly.
Did you say the words? Close enough.
Yeah. But nonetheless, you kind of had all of this stuff together. One group went into a Barnes & Noble, grabbed all the Bibles and all the Christian books and stuff, and moved them all over to the occult section just so that they were all together. Didn't take the others out or anything, but moved them all. And there was a big hoopla about that. So, yeah. And it was amazingly silly. And I have to give the rest of the world some credit, because... Let's be honest, this kind of thing really couldn't happen. Well, it could have, but it would have been centuries ago.
In 2013, Africa burned a witch.
I'm leaving Africa out of this, because it happens in Africa a lot. But in a lot of the Western world, including most of Europe and a good chunk of Asia, this stuff today could not happen. Not only do I think that most of the rest of the world is a little bit more rational than the U.S., atheism is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going, okay, even those that are spiritual and religious and into Christianity or whatever, still there's a separation there. There's like, okay, there's the world and there's my church, and... We go to church and I express my spirituality, but I keep it to myself. I don't need to go and
preach,
fuck around with the rest of the world, with few exceptions, including things like Sharia law and some of the shamanistic practices and stuff in Africa that still believe in witchcrafts heavily. But those kind of pockets are getting smaller. And then you have the Bible Belt of the U.S., and people are not going to be happy that I put the Bible Belt in the same pockets as those that burn witches and such. But, yeah, they are. And I'm hoping someday, beyond hope, that this country goes, oh, okay, that's never stupid. Mind. Yeah, that's dumb. Let's move on.
So this was our 200th episode. Scott's going to be off next week.
I just
got to take a week.
I got to take a little break of just a week. That I got to get some stuff done and prepare for some other things, because next month is my big ballooning return, et cetera, et cetera.
And then
When
Scott comes back, we'll tell you what we originally had planned.
Yes.
For the 200th episode, but. Yeah. There are reasons we didn't do it.
A little bit of rationality with me kind of stepped up and went, no.
We will explain that, you know, in a couple of weeks. But for now, it's been a great 200. I hope we have 200 more, Scott. So
I do hope we have at least 165 more, because I would really like to see people
one a day
for an entire year.
66, though. Leap years.
No, 65 and a quarter.
All right, whatever.
All right. Thanks. They can listen to the quarter episodes every leap year. Exactly. So anyway, thank you all very, very much for joining us. It's been a great 200 episodes. Here's to at least 165 more. And again, I want to take a moment and thank our patrons, because without you guys, we would have stopped by now. And you're making a big difference to us, to our sponsor, Adam and Eve, who is still with us, even though, yeah, the code's not used as much as it used to be. And sometimes they regret signing us on, but they've stuck with us for a long time. And I appreciate everything. And Josh, here's to dealing with you for another 200 episodes.
200.
Yay.
Lost in the Static is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.